Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Abundant Life Ministries has moved to a new location in Palm City, Florida. We're currently meeting at the Palm City Civic Organization. It's located at 770 Southwest 34th Street, Palm City, Florida. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for weekly services. Join us now as we go to a service in progress.
Chapter 12 of Psalm, verse 1. This is a great lie that the devil is going to try to use and has used through history. Help, O Lord, for the godly are fast disappearing and the faithful have vanished from the earth. This is a lie of the devil. That the righteous are failing and losing and dying and disappearing. No, we're not. Not until the rapture. When the trumpet sounds, we will be caught out of here, and yes, we will disappear. But we are not disappearing out of the earth. God has always had a remnant, and we are here, and we are going to stand regardless of what takes place in our land. Regardless. So it's a great lie, Satan's great lie, that the righteous are failing and are losing and that they're vanishing and that truth has been lost. It's a lie. It's a lie. That's not true. Godly people still tell the truth. All right. Next lie. Chapter 12. Let's look at verses 2 through 4. Neighbors lie to each other, speaking with flattering lips and insincere hearts. May the Lord bring their flattery to an end and silence their proud tongues. They say, we will lie to our heart's content. This is the lie that Satan is giving. They say, we will lie to our heart's content. Our lips are our own, and who can stop us? What's a second great lie? We can lie as much as we want to, and nobody can do a thing about it. And now we see this in our nation. We'll see it with more and more politicians, and we see it in the courthouse, and we see it in every aspect of life. And this is another lie of the enemy, that whoever wants to can lie to your neighbor, you can lie however you want to, and it's not going to matter, and there's never going to be any accountability. But that is a big lie, because all of us are going to stand before God, and all of us are going to give an account of what we did and said in this body. So the lie is our lips are our own, and nobody can stop us. Let's go to another lie, and this is in Psalm chapter 10, and we're all kind of sticking together here. Chapter 10, verse 1. O Lord, why do you stand so far away? Why do you hide when I need you the most? This is the lie the devil tells godly people, that God is not listening to you when you pray, that God is somehow far off, that God is not aware of your condition. And the enemy would love for us to think that God is not watching what's going on in New York in a courtroom, or what's going on in our house, or going on across the street, or going on in the local school system. God is fully aware of what is going on. And so this is another great lie of the enemy, that the enemy wants the righteous to think, apparently God's not aware of what's happening. God is hiding somewhere. And that is a lie the devil is speaking. Well, in verse 4 in chapter 10, look at this. Again, it's a lie. These wicked people are so proud, they're too proud to seek God. They seem to think that God is dead. Oh. Not only is God a long ways away if he exists, but the next lie that the enemy's going to say is, God is not alive. Your God is dead. And the unrighteous are going to think that. Many will believe that. And they will say, all this religious stuff that our nation was founded on is garbage. We don't believe it. There is no God. We can do anything we want to. And it doesn't make any difference. But there is a day of accountability that is coming. It's coming. Most certainly it's coming. And God is not dead. Though the enemy would love to get even the righteous to hear that and to wonder, to question. In verse 5 of chapter 10, verse 5, we see another great lie, that the wicked succeed in everything they do. This is something the devil says. Well, look at the wicked people in high places. They're getting by with murder. And the enemy will say to you, well, why even worry about being a godly, righteous, truthful person? Because look, you know, it looks like God doesn't care and evil is able to do whatever it wants to. And it looks like they succeed. They do not see punishment awaiting them. And then another lie is they say to themselves, nothing bad will ever happen to me. Well, let me tell you, my wife again says what goes around, it comes back around. You plant it, you plant the seed's going to grow, and it's going to produce a harvest. And whether you're righteous, whether you're unrighteous, I don't really think about myself as a religious person, but I want to be a righteous and a godly person. But I need to understand that too, that what I plant's going to grow. And the wicked, what they're planting, it is growing and it will produce a harvest. And let me tell you, it's a whole lot easier for the unrighteous to sow seeds of unrighteousness than it is for them to eat them, the fruit of their ways. And so that's just another lie. Nothing's going to happen. What's another lie? There's a whole bunch of lies here that the enemy loves to throw out. I believe verse 10 is a biggie, that the righteous who are in the land appear to be helpless and overwhelmed. The enemy wants you to be anxious, to be worried, to be fearful, to be stirred up, to look at things and say, there's not a thing I can do about anything. Everything's falling apart and the world's going to hell in a handbasket and I can't help anything. It's a disaster. That is a lie. We're not all going to hell in a handbasket. And we're not all overwhelmed. And we will just remind ourselves that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We will not receive the lying spirit that wants to condemn us and condone the evil that is around us. No, the righteous are not all overwhelmed, and we are not collapsing, and we're not falling beneath the strength of the wicked. That's what the enemy would like us to think and would like us to feel and like us to see, but that is not the truth. It may look that way from the outside. That's why what we see is not what I choose to get. I choose to trust what God has to say. Verse 11 is another thing they like to say in chapter 10. The wicked say to themselves, God isn't watching. God could care less. What do you mean, God? If there was a God, and I've heard people make silly, stupid, reckless comments like that. There's really a God, you know, there wouldn't be this problem or that problem or some other problem. Let me tell you, God is not the author of those problems. But we in our humanity are. Well, the wicked may boast. They may say God isn't watching, He'll never notice. They may think they're getting by with everything they're doing, but let me tell you, they will not get by with it. The Lord will continue to rule and reign regardless of what the wicked do. And the righteous will be held by the Father regardless of what happens. Regardless. We looked at that, some verses in chapter 11 of Psalm, but look at verse 1. I trust in the Lord for protection. I trust in the Lord for protection. I think it'd be good for us to believe that and to say that. I trust in the Lord for protection. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, some trust in whatever earthly means. But the psalmist said that ultimately there's only one place to really trust, and that is in the Lord. So why do you say to me, fly to the mountains for safety? Why does it have to say fly to the mountains? I remember the days in this community quite a few years ago when there were many, many, many prophetic words that this was a safe place, that was a safe place. None of them were around here and none of them were in Florida. They were up in the mountains. They were in different places in the nation. And there continues to be all kinds of prophetic words about those things. And I'm not going to judge the prophets nor those words. I'll just say this, that my trust is in the Lord. My wife and I were asked, would we move out of state? Would we move to the mountains? Would we consider ministering up there? And, well, we'll pray about it. We prayed about it, and that didn't change a thing. God called me right here to the Treasure Coast of Florida. This is where God has called me to live, where I'm called to minister. And so with the help of God, we'll do the best we know how to do here. But many have sensed, well, we need to flee here, we need to flee there, we need to develop. I remember the days when it was bomb shelters. We were all concerned about the Cuban Missile Crises and all that was going on in the land. And I'm not going to tell you that evil isn't going to wage war against us. Evil is going to do that. But I'll just tell you, wherever God has placed you is where you need to stay until He moves you. Because I can't see what's going to happen down the road. I've known people that sold everything. They moved here, they moved there, and they moved because the grass looked greener. And they ended up finding that the same devil was there and the same battles were there. And they were fighting just a new group of demons. But nothing changed, because we're at war, because you're godly and you're righteous. And so if you hear I'm flying to the mountains, I'm on vacation. I'm not moving. Someone came to me and said, now, Jonathan, you have a home up in the mountains. Now, does that mean you're gonna move up there? You're going to leave? And said, no, it doesn't mean that at all. This is our home. This is our battlefield. This is our wall to stand on. Martin County is where God has placed it. Scott has given us a big voice with radio, and we're reaching up to 1/3 of the state of Florida. The inhabitants of the state can hear us when we're on radio. That's pretty amazing. 7 million plus people have access to listen to our signal. That's huge. That means 1/3 of the state, from our little Palm City location, we have access to minister to. What am I saying? I'm saying that wherever the righteous are, God is going to be with you. If God has placed you in the middle of the valley, then God is with you in the valley. If you're on the mountain, God's going to be with you in the mountain. And we need to make sure that we're not chasing vain imaginations, but that we're led of the Holy Spirit and we know what God is saying to us to do. And I always thank those who offered us a place. And I have dear friends that had, they built prophets' quarters and they laid up food for the end times. And there may be a day that some of the righteous may end up needing some of that food. So I'm not going to pick on that. And I'm glad they've got it. So if I get hungry, I know I can call some people. But I want you to know that my trust is not in those people. My trust is in the Lord. Hallelujah. And I want to challenge you to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. We know 11:4 tells us, but the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord still rules from heaven. He watches everything closely, examining everyone on earth. We know this. The Lord reigns, and He is in charge, and He knows where His people are. In chapter 12, verse 7, therefore, Lord, we know You will protect the oppressed. I know that. Preserving them forever from this lying generation. I know that. This is a lying generation. It's the end times. But I know that the Lord is my shield and buckler, and He is the one who will protect. Look at verse 8. Even though the wicked strut about, and evil is praised throughout the land, we know that God will protect the oppressed and preserve them forever. This is the promises of God. Let me tell you, the righteous will continue to be blessed even during the greatest disasters and be a blessing. I know this. I can guarantee this. I stand on this. Because in Matthew, when Jesus talked about what was coming, He said, I will build my church. You're His church. John, Virginia, you're His church. Bill, you're His church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not going to win. Jesus said, I'm the superintendent. I'm the general contractor. I'm the architect. I am in charge of security. I am in charge of health. I'm in charge of provision. I'm in charge of everything you need. I am going to keep building my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. When it gets too hot for the righteous, God's going to say, blow the trumpet, and we're going to go home. But we're not home yet. We have work to do. And so Psalm 112, and Bob shared this with me, and Bob, I went home and I looked this psalm up, and guess what I found? I found that in 2023, as I was reading this psalm, I wrote down, this is a psalm for me, and it is for the Abundant Life Church family. A year ago, God gave me this. I wrote right in my notes in the Bible. Let's read it together as we close. Praise the Lord starts with a praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord. Yes, happy are those who delight in doing what He commands. Happy. Be happy. Don't worry. Trust in God. We have to add that in, right? Trust in God. Don't worry. Be happy. Trust in God. Look at this. Your children, if you have children, grandchildren, their children will be successful everywhere. Hey, a lot of our kids, they don't know how blessed they are because we're speaking the blessing over them. They'll come into it. They're going to come into it. They're going to come into the ark. Before God closes the door, I'm believing that our kids are coming in. They're coming in. Our grandchildren, great-grandchildren coming in. Their children will be successful everywhere. What's Acts say? Your sons and your daughters. Pouring out my spirit on your sons and your daughters, and they're going to prophesy. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy. You know what it means to be wealthy in the Word of God? It means all of your needs are met and you have enough to share with somebody else. That's wealth. If the lights are on, you have a bed to sleep in, you have food in your fridge, and you're able to share with someone else, then you're blessed. And that's called wealth. And if you can close your eyes at night and sleep because you know that if I don't wake back up on earth, I'm going to step into glory and that's my next address, then you're wealthy and you're rich. There are people that are paying millions of dollars, thousands of dollars. They go for counsel. They take their medications. They're trying to have peace in their mind. And all you need is to have your sins forgiven and to know that Jesus is Lord of your life. And then you will be able to sleep. I'm telling you what is in my life. Anyone here testify to that? You remember the days when you were running? You know, I don't have to sit in a restaurant up against the back wall because I got to see who's coming through the door. I don't need to be concerned about looking anyone in the eye because I'm not hiding and living in sin. I don't have one life here in the pulpit, another life back in the private place where I live. No, if you get things right with God and God gets you right and the Holy Spirit gets into your life, then you will be able to look every person in the eye. And when one comes and they're a lying demon, you can look them in the eye too. And you'll simply say, you have no authority here because Jesus is in charge of my life. I've been there. I've done that. You will face death. They will tell you you're dead or you're dying. I heard him say that to me. And many, many times, John's another, some of you, most of you can look at your life and say, I should have died there, I should have died there. But God sustained you. The death angel came and said, I'm going to take you. But John, you're another one. Oh no, you're not going to take me. The word says, if I go away, Jesus said, I will prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place, I will come and receive you unto myself. No lying demon's going to take me off of my assignment. I'm on assignment directed by God. And I am here because God has said, Jonathan, I'm not finished with you yet. Melody, that's why you're here too. God's saying, Melody, I'm not finished with you yet. They themselves will be wealthy and their good deeds will never be forgotten. When darkness overtakes the godly, light will come bursting in. They are generous, they're compassionate and righteous. All goes well for those who are generous, who lend freely and conduct their business fairly. This is righteousness and truth in the marketplace. Such people will not be overcome by evil circumstances. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident, they are fearless, and can face their foes triumphantly. They give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. They will influence and honor. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will be infuriated when they see this. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away. Their hopes will be thwarted. This is the life of the righteous. Amen. Amen. We're going to break bread together. And I want to say to all who are joining us by live stream, God bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning. And I want to say to our live stream audience, our family that's there, as well as to all of you here this morning, if you haven't accepted the gift of eternal life, there's not time to put it off. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to say, God, I'm trusting in you. There may be liars on every street, but let me tell you, God is saving, God is delivering, God is setting people free, and God is on the move. And this is an awesome time to be alive. I love what Bill Platt will say. He said, these are exciting days to be living in. These are exciting days to be living. And I want to thank all of you who have faith, who stand, and we're going to see the victory. Amen. We're going to see the victory. Amen. For the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. Well, If someone's listening this morning and you're a little uncomfortable, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to open your heart and say, God, what are you saying to me? What do I need to do? It's a good thing if God's knocking on your heart. Listen, if you're uncomfortable and God's knocking on your heart and God's saying, you are a liar. You've been caught up in this age of lying. You've been deceived. Your life is not in order. And if that's who you are and where you are, then you don't have to leave the way you came, and you don't have to leave who are watching today. You can right now get things straightened out with God. Aren't you glad that Jesus died for your sins, my sins, so we don't have to suffer for them anymore? And who the Son sets free, we read it, right? Who the Son set free is free indeed. Free indeed. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."